You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods, summertime edition. I'm Joel Clayfish. I'm jacked to be here. You know, I think of summer in Wisconsin as the time to get out there, enjoy the ditch asparagus, pick yourself some lilies by the side of the road. I know that anything I can grab to forage, fish, or hunt, Chef Lawton, Chef Ellie Lawton, can put it together in a gourmet meal, and she's also pretty good at hosting this radio stuff, Chef Lawton.
Seriously? Did you just give me a compliment?
I think you're pretty good at it, yes.
I'm going to need to go write that down.
You'll be fine. You're going to make it.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure on this ride with you.
I appreciate
and everybody
that.
Else. Thank we have
you.
Some pretty cool guests today.
I'm blown away at the guests we keep coming up with.
Two of them I stalked, personally. Yeah,
I know, and we're going to get to them in just a minute because I am absolutely blown away with, if you look and if you are curious and you want to get around this, the great states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa, all the states that Raised in the Woods broadcasts into on Saturdays at 11 a.m. I'm just thrilled. All the stuff we find to do at any time of the year, it blows my mind.
Yeah. If you're ever bored in this state, geez, I don't know, take a walk outside, look around. There's literally, in the summer, you can walk into any store, any restaurant, any bar, because there's one of those on every corner, and there are flyers posted everywhere for 1,000 things to do. And that's not even including social media. There is so much stuff to do. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, we've got the amazing festivals in the Midwest, the Taste of Chicago, Summerfest. Here's what blows me away. And I'm going to go right into the Wilds of the Week. We're going to introduce our guests here, and we're going to go right into the Wilds of the Week. James Cooper is here from Halligan Outdoors. He is the state's only frog gigging guide, which blows my mind. James, welcome back to the show. Great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
So speaking of things to do in this incredible state, if you don't like people that much and you don't want to go to a festival or something, call James Cooper at Halligan Outdoor Guide Services.
Yep.
Right? Did I get that right?
Halligan Outdoor Guide.
And go hang out with him for an evening, because we're going to talk about that a little bit. Oh my gosh, you guys will have so much fun and you don't have to deal with crowds.
Do you do birthday parties?
I do birthday parties, bachelorette parties.
Yeah, I feel like that would be such a fun
radio
birthday
shows.
Party.
Yeah, he does it all.
And folks, that voice brought to you by the Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes is Sarah Marinus. And that, yes, is her actual voice. Our homesteader is back.
She's
on the
back.
Show.
Yeah.
We're thrilled to have her back. We've also got the state's number one czar. We had Eric Loebner, the emperor of DNR. Shout out to Eric Loebner. We have the czar of the game birds of the state, the chief game bird ecologist, the big dog, sprouting wings himself.
Wouldn't he be like the big duck?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, and sometimes he's just a silly goose.
Yeah, Taylor. Right.
Whoa.
Talking turkey, you know.
Taylor Finger is here. It is awesome to have you, Taylor. And I'm going to let Chef Lawton introduce the next guests, because I understand she found them in a parking lot and ran across it and tackled them.
Well, it wasn't that aggressive.
Oh.
So we have Ava and Travis here from the Migratory Bird Management and what else is Wild Goose Chase.
Wild Goose Chase, yes.
So,
I love that name. That's a great name for a
great
company.
Yes.
It's fantastic. So I was doing my regular job downtown Milwaukee. I was seeing a client, I don't know, about a month ago. It was a lovely afternoon. And when I pulled up for my client meeting, I noticed their cars. It said Migratory Bird Management. And I said to my coworker, what do you think those people do? This is super exciting. They're doing something with birds. I'm going to go talk to them after our meeting. And they're like, oh my God, of course you would. So luckily, when we left the meeting, they were standing on the sidewalk. And so I zoomed across the street and I'm like, hi, let's talk about birds. I want to know everything that you do. And they're like, what? Who the heck is this crazy lady? So we had an awesome conversation and here we are. And we're gonna spend quite a bit of the show talking about what you all do and where you're based out of. I'm so excited.
Ava and Travis, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what did you do in the outdoors of the great Midwest this past week? Anything fun?
This past week, I went to Lake Park in Milwaukee. They were having a monarch planting event.
Whoa.
What? Yeah.
Come on. There's so many cool things to do.
Yeah, I just saw it on Instagram. My best friend sent it to me. She couldn't come, so I dragged my husband. It was about 4,000 plants. The event was from 10 to 2. We were done by 10:30 because there was just that many volunteers there ready
to
go.
And I'm guessing they're planting native or species of plants that attract butterflies.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Wow. They're creating a really large flyway there. There's a lot of native prairie there already. And we just added 4,000 more.
You know, holy cow. I feel like Ava and Travis would have cool wild of the weeks every single week because you guys are out, like you work outside for your jobs.
Yes.
I'm sure you have a lot of good stories.
Yeah, I love that. Did you know, before we leave this topic, do you know the other words in other languages for butterflies? Do you know any other words?
I don't think I do.
Okay, well, in German, it's called a Fledermaus, which basically means a flying mouse, and leave it to the Germans to have a clumsy word for it.
I feel like that's the softest German word I've ever heard.
Yeah, totally is.
I was waiting for more.
I love butterflies. My daughter, who wanted to be an entomologist her whole life, loves butterflies. I love the Spanish word for butterflies, mariposa.
Ah, yes.
So mariposa. While we're going to be talking about
mariposa.
While we're going to be talking about the flight patterns of geese and ducks, we started out with the flight patterns of butterflies. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Love that.
Travis, did you get out into the outdoors this past week and do anything cool?
Nothing as exciting as Ava, but since we do work outside, a lot of rooftops downtown Milwaukee and a lot of bird poop on my head.
Oh.
You know, that means you must be a very lucky person.
I've been told that for a long time. I'm still waiting for it to hit.
You're waiting to hit the lottery still. Sarah Marinas?
We went on a family vacation to Tennessee.
Whoa.
Wow.
And the last week of May to mid-June is synchronized firefly season. I've been telling everybody it's mating season, but it's not. It's not their mating season.
How on earth do you synchronize fireflies?
It's just like they're all excited to be there and just flying all over
the place.
They're
excited to be alive.
They're condensed in one area. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're in the Smoky Mountains. It's only in one spot. And it's a magical show of just twinkling Smoky
Mountains.
How many
people were there? Like a lot?
Zero where we are because I hate crowds.
Okay.
So I did a lot of research.
Of course
you
did.
And then we went into the Smoky Mountains and all my boys had their red vests.
Oh.
And we went hiking in the night when it was dark and we heard all the water. It was definitely one of the best moments of my life.
Oh,
wow.
Wonderful.
Well, then I have to finish this by asking you, lightning bug or firefly? Which direction do you go?
I say firefly because that's what it says online when you read them. But okay. My kids call them lightning bugs.
Yeah, I grew up calling them. I think that's like a bubbler water fountain thing.
Yeah.
I grew up calling them lightning bugs.
I do lightning bug.
Speaking of lightning bugs, does that fall under your jurisdiction?
No, they're not a game species.
Chief game bird ecologist. Oh, they are, but they're really hard to hit.
Right, yeah.
I don't think they make a shotgun gauge small enough. No, I'm kidding. For those of you who are about to write in, that was a joke. Not out there hunting fireflies.
He just makes art with it. He captures them and smears them on his driveway.
Do not do that.
I saw it.
But when you're driving in the car and they hit your windshield and they're lit up for a little while, I mean, it is. I still wish I knew how on earth a bug can emit a bright light like that. I know it has something to do with an exothermic reaction, but Taylor Finger.
I deal with birds.
We're gonna Taylor, please tell us how that works.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Just like most of my job, I'll just say it confidently, and most people believe what I'm talking about. So.
That's right. Did you get out in the outdoors for a while
yeah,
the week?
Yeah, it's Canada goose banding season. So
so cool.
That's the time of the year. So,
are we still banding them in the same numbers? Because they federally reduced the program, are we still banding them in the same numbers?
Yeah, fortunately, after all the big concern about the bird banding lab and reducing their funding, actually, USGS ended up with more money than what was what they were asking for. So a bunch of people, I think some really influential people that liked banding birds and shooting banded birds, started talking to people, and all of a sudden it got fully funded. So yeah, no, we're banding about 4,000.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
4,000 Canada geese.
That makes me very excited. I have a proposal, by the way, to privatize the whole banding system, by the way. I think it could be a great public-private partnership. That's a topic for a different show. James Cooper, I'm not going to let you talk about your Wild of the Week because I think it's the same as Megan Salazar's, Megan's lover Dave, Ellie Lawton, and mine. Ellie, what's your Wild of the Week? Roll it.
Mine? I have been waiting a year to do this. I've been talking about it. It was my goal for the year.
Drum roll, please.
I went frog gigging.
Yes, we did. We went frog gigging.
We went bow fishing before frog gigging, which I love bow fishing. I did not get one. I didn't get one, and Megan's lover, Dave, didn't get one. But Joel, on his second shot with his like 85-year-old bow, just hammered this huge carp, and it was awesome.
It was so awesome.
You had never shot anything with that bow.
I never shot it. I had made myself a bow fishing rig about 15 years ago. I've used it maybe once or twice, but I had a great shot.
It had like an inch of dust on it when you brought it.
It really
it was,
did. But it's
it was
an old
so
Fred
much
Bear
fun.
Bow. You can't go wrong with those.
But the Weekly Wisco, that's an old one. The Wild of the Week, it was all about the frog gigging. James, I mean, I don't know. That just made my life so much better. I can't believe I've gone this many years without doing that. We got right in the water. We were grabbing those bullfrogs by our hands and using the devil pitchforks.
Tridents.
I think they're called gigging poles.
Gigging poles or tridents.
Oh, man. It was so cool. I loved every moment of it.
Yeah. Dave and I, we were waist deep.
You guys
in the
were
water.
Waist deep. Yeah. I kicked my Crocs off and got about shin deep. And then there was a drop off and my Carhartts were just not up for it. So they were waist deep. And Dave came back at one point with 3 bullfrogs in one hand.
Yes, he
did.
It
was so exciting.
It was a blast. And we were, you know,
I loved it.
For those of you out there thinking, what are you out there doing killing frogs? I will say every one of those frogs is going to end up on the dinner plate.
Yes.
I had an absolute blast. We were kind of picky about the frogs we harvested, making sure we were harvesting mature frogs. And what a great time I had. Halligan Guide Service, the only guide in the state for frog gigging. And I'm telling you, you don't think you can hunt in the summertime. You don't think of hunting. This is a cool combination hybrid of fishing, hunting, walking around in the swamp at night with headlamps. There's an eeriness to it.
That's what I was just going to say. It was what I loved about it. Not only the actual gigging itself, but being out there in the middle of the night, you know, there were storms around us. So it was just, everything was kind of like calm and a little bit eerie.
Sunset was incredible.
And then the geese were out there with their babies and we were just walking right along with them. It was just so wonderful. I loved it.
And a shout out to Pepperoni Pub who fed us ahead of time. That was great as well.
And James doesn't know it, but we're going to be back every weekend.
Well, we're definitely going to go again. But if you're looking for something to do, make sure you get in touch with them. I mean, what a fun night out and super reasonable as well.
Yes.
So contact James at Halligan Outdoors. What a show we have. We've got experts on waterfowl here. We've got a recipe of the week coming up. And of course, our homesteader, Sarah Marinas, has got a homesteader tip of the week. That's why this is the greatest show on radio, Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Mm-hmm. listening to Raised in the Woods, your number one stop and shop for the great outdoors of the great states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa. My name's Joel Clayfish. I've been running this show for, several years now, if you can believe that, and we keep expanding. Big appreciation to you, our listeners out there. Hey to Gary Fluitt, our number one listener.
Hey, Gary and George.
Gary and George Ermert.
George paid me to say that. Too.
Yeah, he probably did. welcome to all the new listeners. If you want to check out Raised in the Woods, you can do that on all your civic media stations on Saturdays at 11 a.m. But if you miss the show live on Saturdays, where can they hear it, Chef Lawton?
You can tune in on civicmedia.us. Just search Raised in the Woods, or you can listen on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or check us out on Facebook.
And if you're not savvy with the new kids and technology, you can just put Raised in the Woods in the old Google box, and we're the first thing that comes up.
What if you don't know how to get to Google?
Well, then you're probably not going to find anything on a computer, because that's about as easy as it gets. We've got a crazy, fantastic lineup of folks here. Taylor Finger, who is the chief game bird ecologist, who's kind of riding along, and he's coming back next week as well to talk about how birds see when you're hunting them, what they look for, what they look like,
what every hunter
wonders. The best way to hunt. So make sure you stick around and come back next week to learn some real important secrets and tips as to how to hunt and how the flyways are doing through the Midwest. Taylor Finger is an invaluable resource in Wisconsin, and we're thrilled to have him. He came this week to kind of audit and hang out with us, because this week we've got the folks from Migratory Bird Management and
Wild Goose Chase.
The Wild Goose Chase, which I think is one of the coolest names of a company. Travis and Ava, what on earth are these two companies? What do they do? And how does that play a role in migratory bird management?
Yeah, so what we do is we use science-based bird control is what we call it. So we go out, one of our main things, why it's called Wild Goose Chase to begin with, our parent company, is we chase geese with border collies. That's something that we love to do. It's how a lot of us get into it.
I bet those dogs love to do it.
Oh, they are absolutely the happiest dogs I've ever met.
Wonderful.
The world. Yes, they're so happy to do it. So yeah, we use science. We've been in the business since 1998. So we've used science to kind of develop and learn. We've made a lot of mistakes, and we've learned from those mistakes, and we know what works and what doesn't.
Where are you guys based out of? Where are you servicing?
Yeah, so our migratory bird management company is based out of Brookfield, Wisconsin. We have our sister company, Wild Goose Chase. Our headquarters are in Chicago Ridge. We also have a branch in Indianapolis, and we just started our Detroit branch. So that's brand new to the world.
So you're expanding.
Almost every one of the states that Raised in the Woods goes into.
Yeah, we just got to get into Iowa.
There's no such thing as coincidences.
No, never, ever.
Tell me what started this idea, and who are the folks who call you guys?
Yeah, so this started our owner of the company, Sue. She worked for a landscape company, and she saw border collies chasing on some of the golf courses or landscape places. And she said, you know what? I bet I can do that. So she got a couple dogs, got a couple people, and they've been chasing since, again, 1998.
So Wild Goose Chase came first.
Wild Goose Chase came first. Okay. Yeah, Migratory Bird Management came out of we had a Wild Goose Chase in Wisconsin already.
Okay.
So we came out of a legal title name.
Okay.
So that's where we get the difference there.
When you say chase them, are you chasing them into a cage? Or did the dogs kill them? Or are you like relocating them? What's the goal?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got goose poop everywhere. I want these out of here. They call you up.
Yeah, you sound exactly
what
like one of our clients.
Like?
So what it looks like.
Get this out of here. You have clients who have a voice like that.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yes, beautiful. Basically what we do is we'll pull up to a site. If there are birds at that site and it is safe to do so, we'll get the dog out. What our dogs do is it's called herding out. So when you see sheepdogs kind of working the sheep, they're herding in, they're bringing that sheep sure. to the farmer. Our dogs herd out. So basically they're going to see the geese. They act as a natural predator, almost like a coyote. They're very closely related to those coyotes. And they basically will act like a predator and it gets them out of there. So they fly off into a place that's better for them, better suited for them, mm-hmm. where the property isn't, basically.
The neighbors.
The neighbors, exactly. yeah. Also known as our next clients.
Yeah. So. I was just
going to
say.
That's a business model right here.
Yes.
These geese are over at Karen's and now they're at Tracy's and you're just yes. going right down the line.
Exactly.
So you start at one place, you just drive to the next. You're like, hey, you want us to move those, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So basically the way that it works and why it works is we visit these sites every day for a certain amount of contracted time.
Ah, okay.
And the geese eventually learn, hey, this isn't the place for us. We're going to go somewhere where it's safe for both the birds and for the people that are on those sites.
On average, how long does that take?
It depends. We've got clients that we've had for those 28 years that were still clients. I think some of those places were a little bit of an insurance policy, but
mm-hmm, sure.
It takes years.
Yeah.
You know, they gotta learn to not be there.
Right.
Okay. And can you shoot a goose or is that not allowed?
Well, you can't. I mean, that's where hunters come in,
yeah.
Sarah. But I've had hunting applications in this area before because I have some businesses who will invite us in to come hunt, and birds learn very quickly when you hunt them. The rest of the group ends up moving on somewhere else, and where there are geese or ducks or you know waterfowl, pigeons, who are a nuisance to a business. When you hunt a portion of them, they learn fairly quickly to move on from there. I can't wait. We're going to talk about some of the methods they use to do that, who they're servicing.
This is exciting.
And I'm also going to talk, we're also going to bring Chief Game Bird Ecologist Taylor Finger into this conversation because I want to know if there's so many geese around here, why we've got such limits on them. Don't ever tell me you're not going to learn something in this crazy
yeah,
show.
No kidding.
This is Raised
yeah.
in the Woods. This is Raised in the Woods, that show that takes everything from the great outdoors of the Midwest, tells you what you can do with it, how to work it, and one of my favorite things always is how to put it on the dinner table because food is my favorite dish. And this week, our Taylor Finger, Chief Game Bird Ecologist, thinks that's funny.
Yep.
I think we can all agree here. I think everybody here, I think we're good eaters.
I was just going to say, I have a belly to prove it.
Nobody's been accused of missing a meal.
Nobody at this round table has been accused of skipping a meal. By the way, we have a family dinner here ahead of every show. We had some pronghorn antelope tonight.
Chef Joel cooked. Cooper.
I did cook tonight, and it just goes to show that you can take just about any game animal and make it palatable and eat it. And
yes.
One of the things that we love to talk about on this show is the ethics and morality of making sure you use whatever your harvest is to the best of your ability. And that's why I eat nearly only wild game. I will definitely go to the Italian market and get a fine mortadella once in a while.
Ooh,
I love me some mortadella, but I will also, we eat a lot of what we harvest, all of what we harvest, and don't be afraid of put that meat in a crock pot. Let it simmer until it's fallen apart and add some barbecue sauce. It turns out pretty good. Mm-hmm. I did not have an intricate dinner for everybody tonight, but it was still pretty
tasty. It was still good.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be fancy.
That's a fact. We have a phenomenal panel here. We keep getting unbelievable panels. You tracked Ellie Lawton. You tracked this panel down.
Literally.
Literally tracked him down in a parking lot. You saw the name of their company on the side of their truck.
Hey, when I have tennis shoes on in downtown Milwaukee, you don't know where you're going to see me. I mean, I'm scooting around that place like crazy. And it just goes to show you, you know what? Sometimes just step out and say hi to somebody. You know, everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a cool path to share. Sometimes they don't want to share it, and that's cool too. But just go and talk to people.
And what I want to talk, these folks are from Migratory Game Management.
Bird Management.
Migratory Bird Management. And I don't think people realize how many businesses and folks out there actually have problems with nuisance birds. Mm-hmm. Travis and Ava are here. Who are the people calling you guys, and what are some of the problems you encounter with some of these birds? And birds are all beautiful, and we want to keep their populations in check, no doubt, and keep healthy populations. But I don't think people realize some of these birds can be mean or even dangerous.
Mm-hmm. They can be. You know, we kind of, when we approach a company or a business or a client, you know, we like to say that we're a science-based bird management company that focuses on human health and safety. And we build site-specific management plans to mitigate some of the nuisance bird issues they're having, whether it's droppings or attacks, bird attacks, things like that, nesting, you know, unsightly signage, things like that, keeping properties clean, keeping people safe and healthy.
I have a question.
Sure.
About, you brought up nesting. So my office, a couple of years in a row, we've had geese make nests right outside the main door, and they got so aggressive that mm-hmm. they had to divert all the foot traffic around the whole building on the other side of the docks because they literally were like hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys come across that, I'm sure, every spring.
Every day.
So how do you handle that?
So we, back to your question, Joel, a lot of our customers are commercial clients. Some industry, some agriculture. But we, a lot of times what we try to do initially is harass the birds.
Sure.
Like Ava said, with border collies. but we also do what's called depredation. So we get permits from any state and local or government officials. Sometimes it has to be, you know, like U.S. Fish and Wildlife nationally, to do the depredation, go through the depredation process.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times what that involves in a situation like urine is oiling or addling the eggs once we get the proper permits. And
what
does
addling mean?
Addling, by definition, is shaking.
So you shake, them so
you
they,
shake
they
the eggs so they don't develop.
Hatch.
So
okay.
We like to, there's a process to it. You can float test the eggs to see what stage of development they're in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to catch them early so you're not, you know, there's not a chick developing in there.
Sure.
Sure.
but a lot of times what we do is we oil. That stops that oxygen exchange from the outside air mm-hmm. to the inside of the egg.
Yep.
And prevents the development. So a lot of times, you know, people get worked up about what we're doing there and the timing of it. But really, it's like if you crack open a chicken egg that you get from the grocery store.
Yes.
Exactly.
Same thing.
It's still a yolk.
And again, your company is basing a lot of this off of science. I mean, all of it. Let's be real, right?
And I'll be honest, it's the most effective way to do it because a lot of times, oh, we'll just take the eggs away or break them, like you're saying. You don't want to do that because she'll still sit on the eggs mm-hmm. and won't re-nest. Because if she thinks the eggs are gone, she'll re-nest and you'll have a problem again in...
She'll relay
2 weeks.
The eggs.
I'm right. glad you jumped in yep. here, Taylor Finger, the chief game bird ecologist for the DNR, because I'm curious about this. Now, I know, and we preach on this show, that healthy populations make healthy populations, which means in some cases populations do need to be reduced, and the DNR and others watching these species are up on that, extremely high up on that. There's got to be birds that are reduced in numbers in order to continue having healthy populations. So I just want to be clear for those of you out there who may be uncomfortable about bird populations being reduced, this is all done within specific numbers, is it not?
Yeah, again, and this is a process that's just not state as well. Like for us, we manage this as a federal species because it's a migratory bird species. And so even though the population may be higher in Wisconsin or higher in Minnesota, we share that population with Ontario, with Illinois, with all those other states.
Right.
And so we have to manage the population together. So we can't say, oh, well, we got to reduce the population here in Wisconsin, so we're going to increase the bag limit to drive it down. Well, that may negatively affect the opportunity for the states that are south of us or these birds migrate to. And so we have made changes. I mean, for example, I think back 2016, 2017, there was only, our Canada Goose bag limit was 2. And now we're up to 3. And then in some cases, at the end of the year, we're all the way up to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know, based on harvest and based on banding analysis, that those birds early in the season and those birds late in the season, over 90% of those harvested are locally grown birds. So we know that we can affect our own local population without negatively affecting the migratory population.
That's fascinating. And so, next week, we're going to have you back and we're going to talk about the banding program, because that was in jeopardy of losing that. And we're going to talk about healthy populations. But I'm really excited to talk about how birds see and what they're looking at when they're coming into a spread from a hunting perspective. Because, man, you know that I love waterfowl hunting and spend a lot of time doing it. And Taylor Finger's coming back next week. But, Travis, you were talking before the show about some interesting ways you have of moving birds from areas to areas. Tell me about some of those.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of that was a great segue with how birds see. A lot of people don't realize they see also on the UV spectrum that we don't see.
In the ultraviolet spectrum. Correct. What does that mean?
So they see different wavelengths than we do. So
that is so cool.
A lot of the new technology coming out, we utilize lasers quite a bit to move birds. We've been using them pretty much since the company started in 98.
Explain that to us, because I don't know anything about that, but that I just imagine like Star Wars, like y'all are out in the field with like a bunch of those things.
Exactly like that. Yeah. And that's how we explain it to people, is basically we see the endpoint of the laser. We just see the dot across the room.
This isn't a laser that harms anything. It's a laser that's got it's just a light laser.
A light laser, fully humane. There's handheld versions, there's automatic versions. The handheld versions we've been using since the company started, moving the geese around properties, off of properties. We see the endpoint. The bird sees the whole beam because they see in that UV spectrum.
Okay.
So they feel as though it's a moving wall or something.
A predator,
correct, coming at them.
So they will never land where that laser is, typically?
Depending on the source. If it's a handheld laser, that's usually getting used after the birds have landed.
Okay.
We do also install automatic lasers.
I was going to ask about that, because you do a lot of commercial business. Correct. So do these businesses install lasers? And are they very effective?
It depends on the setting. So they're very effective. It works a lot better on flockier birds than individual birds. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we're using them in agriculture settings where it's sweet corn farms, vineyards.
Sure, they don't want their crops destroyed.
Correct. Dairy barns, poultry farms, things like that, where we can set the laser, install the laser, program it, set it so it's running based on our parameters. Mm-hmm. And you really reduce the labor, and it's just super effective to chase them out of there.
What I love about this conversation, I mean, having you three here, Ava, Travis, Taylor, this is all full circle, right? We're talking about healthy populations. We're talking about keeping our farmers and our crops balanced and healthy as well. I mean, to our listeners who may hear this and might think, well, that's mean to do to the birds. Well, listen, the birds aren't really getting harmed in these methods. And we need to keep our crops and our farmers happy too. I mean, that's high up on the list.
Yes. Right. It is ironic that often somebody complaining about maintaining populations of wild game are the same folks who are going to complain when the prices go up at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And there is an inevitable link between healthy populations and agriculture. Taylor, you've got to see that quite a bit.
I mean, we've been dealing heavily with avian influenza for the last 2-3 years now. And again, wild birds, waterfowl, tend to be the primary carrier for that. And then some of these smaller songbirds, passerines, in these chicken operations and turkey operations, they tend to be the sources for those types of things. So yeah, it's interesting from a hunting opportunity. It's like, okay, well, this is really important. Then we have other people that are calling us complaining about $7 a dozen eggs. And being like, we got to kill every goose we ever see because they're the reason why I'm paying more at the grocery store.
Well, it's so critical that we all do our little parts, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You're managing healthy populations. You guys are helping farmers. I mean, we're hunters. We all play our role here. And I think to just have that balance and to see the full circle of how everybody works together to maintain these populations, a lot of work goes into it. A lot of science goes into it. A lot of time and resources go into this stuff. It's not just people out there wanting to kill these birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, again, we work with, people don't think about St. Jude's as being a wildlife issue, but there's an operation out of St. Jude's that they're like doing state-of-the-art testing for avian influenza that you can get within hours of testing. And so they can say, okay, hey, we don't band here because we don't want to concentrate all of these birds in one area, or this is showing a hot spot. Let's try to stay away from that. Whereas prior to that, you send in a sample, it might take you a month and a half or 2 months to get something back. So again, it's right. The technology with these issues is really, it's really come a long way.
And let's not forget, you know, this show, Raised in the Woods, which goes to the heart of the Midwest states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa, that is the breadbasket of this entire country. The agriculture here doesn't just feed those five states. The agriculture here feeds the entire United States. And people don't often realize that the wildlife populations drastically and severely affect agriculture in those states. So people like migratory bird management and people like Taylor Finger, who's the chief game bird ecologist, those things work hand in hand. And make no mistake, hunters, anglers, outdoor users in the state of Wisconsin are that third leg of the chair. And without them, these other folks wouldn't be able to do their jobs as well, and it would certainly harm farms too. What a fascinating topic. This is Raised in the Woods. We're back with cooking.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here on Raised in the Woods, you never know what we're going to hit as a topic, and we're talking about game management
lasers.
Of wild birds, lasers, eating, hunting, moving birds out, keeping populations healthy. Taylor Finger is here, chief game bird ecologist, with some incredible insights. And homesteader Sarah Marinas has got a tough question. I know it. I can see it. I can read it on your face.
Yeah, she needs something solved.
Yes. So my question is, so many people love birds and people are so emboldened now. Have you guys had issues where people are getting in your face thinking that they're advocating for the birds? And if so, I want to hear one of the stories and tactics you use to kind of get them away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely people love birds. We love birds. I mean, that's something that we like to say is we're bird nerds too.
Can you use the lasers on the people?
Oh, God, no.
Let's slow down there.
That's why Alex doesn't work there.
That's why they will never hire me.
Yeah, you know, we try to train in de-escalation techniques. We try not to get to a point where somebody is screaming in your face. I always tell my handlers, hey, if you are uncomfortable, walk away. Your safety, the dog's safety, that's most important. You know, we get people who don't like what we do just because they think that we're harming the birds. Legally, we cannot even touch them, including our dogs. We
Interesting.
Will, yeah, we'll retire a dog if they touch a bird. That's 100% not okay. So, yeah, we
do
have people. Yeah.
Do people ever take the time to learn about what you're doing and actually be educated, or is it always just the what are you doing? Stop harassing the birds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you just have to read the situation, if they seem like they're open and willing, I go right in. I'm so happy to talk to anybody about birds. I'm like the biggest bird nerd ever.
When I saw your trucks, I was like, I need to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing in downtown Milwaukee? How are you managing birds here?
And it's always so funny because like even yourself, I think we talked about it afterwards, like, oh, that went in a good direction. Because sometimes we get people who come.
She can't stomp in like she was on a mission.
She was ready. I'm gonna figure out what they do.
And you weren't the first one to talk to us when we were standing there. We were looking around. We're like, we got to get out of here. People keep talking to us.
I love it.
Yeah. No. I mean, you get good conversation sometimes, and you know, a lot of the times, I really do see that people walk away understanding, knowing what we do, knowing why we do it, and you know, knowing that we use the best science possible, and lethal control is absolutely the last effort that we do.
I think that's the most important piece that you just touched on is people being educated about what you're doing. And I'm telling people, go out there and ask someone what they do and be educated. Don't just assume and jump on an idea. Just learn the facts, talk to people, learn what they're doing.
I think that's fantastic advice because I've been on this earth 45 years, and
what?
I've learned you never...
You missed a few.
He was on rounding. The first 10 years.
I was hoping you weren't going to catch that.
Sarah's homesteader tip for the week is going to be aging backwards. Yeah.
I like to say, though, I mean, so many people get so stubborn, especially in today's society, being addicted to social media and everything. Never stop learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learning is the biggest joy in life, experiencing learning. So I think that's great advice. Our food tip, our recipe tip of the week is going to be about the source of your food. And now is the time to be planting in gardens and getting your gardening going so you can have pizza toppings for the fall.
Ooh,
and our
yes.
homesteader, Sarah Marinas, what kind of tip you got for those who are striking up their gardens this year?
Yes. So if you have problems with deer, bunnies, any other rodents that are eating your vegetables and your flowers, you're not going to call this team over here and talk. It's like, get out of here. But you can buy a perennial, and it's called lamb's ear. And it's
really?
A silver gray leaf, and it's really fuzzy. And it really freaks the deer out and rodents, because when they eat on it, it's really fuzzy and they don't like it.
I wonder why it's named lamb's ear.
Yeah, it's a mystery. It's like a cactus. But it's very soft and fuzzy. My kids love petting it.
Petting the plants.
And I plant it all around my hostas and then around my raised gardens.
And
too.
It works. Does yeah. it work?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're growing tomatoes, you're growing lettuce, you're growing carrots, you're growing all the
cucumbers.
Stuff. Cucumbers. And so, wow, that is an awesome homesteader tip I never Ooh. Would have thought of, to be honest with you. Here's what I'm curious about as we wrap up the show. Taylor Finger, the chief game bird ecologist, like the number one dude at the DNR watching migratory birds and game bird species, which is honestly, no joke, a fascinating topic for me, and I never have enough time to ask him all the questions. Are you intrigued by what we learned about those folks who are going out and, you know, pushing and moving nuisance birds?
Absolutely. It's something that I've just been getting increasing phone calls from the public, because they think that that's the DNR's responsibility to handle those types of things. And so fortunately, because they're federally managed and controlled, I can usually ship them off to USDA Wildlife Service and say, not my playground. And then USDA
you guys start handing out their cards.
Yeah, USDA Wildlife Services works with these guys
yes.
here to get the job. We just kind of trickle down to get to the people on the ground who actually do the job. I mean, we're government people, right? We
yeah, of course.
Right?
Who in government doesn't like to pass the
yeah,
buck?
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, yeah, it is becoming a larger and larger issue as we see, again, Canada goose populations increase, but they change their behavior to reflect places where they're not going to get shot or harvested into these more urban areas mm-hmm. where that lethal control can't necessarily take place. And again, people love to see Canada geese. They hate Canada goose poop, but they don't want to see them die. And so that's mm-hmm. where your guys' role yeah. comes in. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to see them ever again, but don't kill them. And
yeah.
so that's usually how we wrap it up. So.
Yeah.
Well,
there's
that's
a reason
awesome.
Why you guys have been around for over 20 years doing what you've been doing.
Absolutely. And fun fact of the day is single goose can produce about 2 pounds of poop a day.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And there are some health issues with that as
yeah.
well. I love the fact that we had you guys here today on the same show. Anything you can learn about migratory populations is going to make you play better in the sandbox with those who are out there. Be kind to folks. Get them interested in hunting and fishing. Remember, anybody who's interested in the outdoors is worthwhile to be kind to and to invite them along, because there's going to be someone who's doing it who doesn't know as much as you, and plenty who know more than you. And so sitting somewhere in the middle is a good place to be. See you next week on Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.